in Genesis 2. It begins and it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the hosts of them. On the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of the work that he had done. And so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. And these are the generations of heaven and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens." Let's just stop right there. Just think about this. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created generations in that day. And so in Adam and in Eve, the very day that the heavens and the earth and mankind was created, you existed. You hadn't been born yet. But in the genealogy, God saw this family, this group of people. So it's like, and that's why I love it. It says, "For one man's sin, all have transgressed. How much more in the last Adam's act of obedience, all can be made righteous and clean." It says, "When no bush was in the field yet in the land, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. And then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils a breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant in the sight and for good food. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden." And I'm just going to skip down to 15. "And the Lord God took man, and he put him in the garden of Eden to work and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you will surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone, and I'll make him a helper fitting for him.' And now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man that he would call them. And whatsoever the man called every living creature, that's what its name. And the man gave names to the livestock and the birds of the heaven and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not find a helper fitting for him. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed the place with his flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This at last is a bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh.' And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Father, we ask you to add your blessing to the reading of the word this morning. And we thank you, Lord God, that you'll help us to sort out, that we will get the point of what you're trying to say to us, Lord God. And we thank you that your lines, your boundaries are falling upon us in pleasant places this morning. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in the beginning, we see that God begins to create the heaven and the earth. And through this like amazing divine process, we know that God begins to create a divine order or a container to hold the life that he created. And so the first thing that God does is he begins to speak things into existence and begins to set boundaries with everything that he creates. He has the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he creates a knowledge of good and evil, a boundary. He creates light and darkness, a firmament and the earth, right? Male and female. He creates a garden and basically has a hedge about it for man to dwell in. We know that story. We just read it. And so God creates an environment for the life that he wants to live for him. But a strange thing happens in the middle of the garden. A chapter later, we find that there was a serpent. Actually, the devil, clothed in the form of a serpent, who goes in and deceives Adam into believing, A, that he was not like God, and some type of an orphan spirit, feeling like, you know, God was trying to keep his best from him. And so we see Adam get deceived. We would call that original sin. And we see the breach in the relationship, going from father and son in relationship to literally this orphan heart being in Adam. But I want to say this. Before there was a transgression, okay, there was a trespass. Adam had, remember I said this, God, you can cast your cares upon the Lord, but you cannot cast your responsibilities upon the Lord. And so what happens is Adam was charged with a couple of things. A, keep the garden. How many of you know this thing is flourishing? It's being watered. It's a beautiful place. He's not just saying harvest the fruit that's coming from the garden. I think he's giving him a warning. Keep stuff out of the garden that doesn't belong there, right? Keep the garden. Guard the very thing that I've given you. Because garden is not only a physical place for him, it is a metaphor of his heart and his relationship with the Lord on that day. And so what happens is we know that they sin, they end up hiding from the Lord, insecurity in the relationship, and the next thing you know is that Adam goes and starts accusing his wife for his bad decisions because he didn't keep the garden and he didn't defend his boundaries. I'd say this morning, that many times some of the problems externally that we struggle with is not somebody else's fault. It's because we haven't learned to defend the boundaries in our own life. I want to say this. A boundary is an invisible property line in your life that tells you what you are responsible for and what you're not responsible for. It gives healthy expectations of yourself and others. And when there's a violation of a boundary, what happens is that it's an open door for the enemy to traffic in and get you to begin to blame things externally for something actually that you really did not defend. A boundary, I'm going to say this again, it is an invisible property line around your life. It is made not to confine you, it is made to keep you safe. It is at best, it is a blessing. It is made to define who I am, what I'm responsible for, and what it also does is it gives me realistic expectations of others. And I believe that many people struggle. Can we just say this? Many people struggle, anxiety, stress. Being overworked and fatigued? Because that was part of the curse of Adam. Because of the violation of a boundary, he would go from just drawing life from a refreshing place to out of the sweat of his brow having to earn his way. And so with the boundaries and the borders that God places in our life, anybody ever had anybody violate a boundary? This is uncomfortable stuff. Anybody ever had invite somebody over for an hour and they stay five? Just saying. And so when we look at this in our nation, and by the way, I'm not getting very political today, and I'm not going to discuss immigration this morning, but what I will say this is, I want to be like Rodney King, can we all just get along? But what I'm actually saying is with this, can we all agree that without a boundary, without a border, there's not a nation? Well, if you don't believe that, then give me the keys to your house. Give me the number for your 401k, right? And so the reality is boundaries are designed to keep us safe, designed to protect us, designed to define what we're responsible for, what other people are responsible for, so that, and let me tell you what, the Bible actually says, if we will be good guards of the boundaries in our life, that God will extend our territory. He'll grow our boundaries in front of us. And so how many know there's boundaries for nations? There's boundaries for relationships. Call me old-fashioned. I just say it is 100% biblical. If you have sexual relations out of marriage, it's not maybe even that you're not supposed to marry her. It's just that it is out of bounds. And that, can I just say, that selfish need that you had out of covenant will allow certain things to traffic in your life if the issue is not dealt with. And it is a whole lot easier to deal with it, the problem on the airplane, when you're on the runway. But baby, when you get married, you are in the air. Right? There's boundaries for finances. Boundaries for finances. How many know there's something called a budget? A budget is a boundary. How many know there's boundaries for finances? There's something called work. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. There is something called work. And there's a mentality right now that says that there's no boundary to give to people that don't want to work. By your vote. The reality is, it is the exact opposite. In fact, God never said He would bless your hands. The Bible says that He said He would bless the work of your hands. Right? And so I got boundaries in finances. I tithe the first thing that comes in. I give offerings because I want to acknowledge that God is my portion and my reward. And I remind Him every day that He's my provider, not my occupation. So I try and live by these boundaries. In fact, it says in Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, this is amazing. It shows the throne room of God, the temple on the earth. And it says that out of this temple flows a river of living water. And it says, and this river of living water runs all the way from the temple into the Dead Sea. And everything that river touches becomes alive. That's a beautiful picture. And it says that there are trees planted on both sides of the river. And it says in every season they get a new type of fruit. How many know that's a pit? That is not a literal thing that's going to happen. That is a spiritual metaphor of us. How many know that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost? How many know that if I will... Yeah, all a river is... A river has something called banks and borders. And so the Bible says that in the river of God in your life, it's on the borders that the fruit is produced. It's on the boundaries. It's on the banks. But then he goes on to say this. He says, but the swamps will be salted with salt. And it says they will be the habitation for flies, frogs, and snakes. You know what a swamp is? All a swamp is a river without a bank. That's it. It's a life with no boundaries. And so when you look at that, it says, and by the way, flies and frogs and snakes in the Bible are metaphors for demonic spirits. In the book of Revelation, you see three unclean spirits that look like frogs go to bring havoc upon the world. The Bible also says that Satan is the Lord of the flies, Beelzebub. And we know original that he was a snake in the garden. And so what happens is my living water, and in fact, I will say this, the Holy Ghost is the river, but you are the banks. The boundaries that you put in your life determines on how deep or how shallow the life of God is in your life. Proverbs 25:28 says, whoever, and I'll say this, we're a whosoever church, right? It says, whoever, and I'm going to say this, whoever, saved or lost, that cannot control his own spirit is like a city torn down without walls. Whoever cannot control his own spirit is like a city torn down without walls. Can I say this? If you don't have healthy boundaries, you will live out of control. And I also want to say it like this. It is not about controlling others or manipulating others. Or even rejecting others. It is about taking responsibility for what God's called you to do in your life. When I first got saved, especially when I first started pastoring, I thought I was responsible for everything. I mean, in my mind, I had no boundaries. I had love. I had love for people, but I didn't have boundaries. And so what happened was, as though I loved them, I had water, my lack of boundaries made it a swamp in my own life. And the one word boundary, God establishes his principle in 1,000 yeses. Do you understand that? God says, I will, you can have, you can have, you can have. But then all of a sudden, God says a no. But of the tree, don't touch it. Of the garden, keep it. Oh, Jericho, you can have all the other cities, but the fact of the matter is, Jericho, that's sanctified, that's mine, don't touch it. So God establishes boundaries with 1,000 yeses, but he throws in a couple no's. And somebody that does not know how to say no and hear no effectively, right? Say no and hear no. A person that does not know how to hear no because of lack of boundaries, what happens is they take that no as an indictment against their value. Now, I love people in the good things of God that can't take no for an answer. Amen? I love people when they say, I'm believing for my healing, and I'm going to keep believing for my healing. I'm believing for the addiction to go. I'm going to keep believing. I'm believing for a financial breakthrough. I'm going to keep believing. I know my kids are going crazy as a pet raccoon, but I'm going to keep believing that they're going to be saved. Right? I like people that won't take no for an answer in some ways, but when it is born out of a dysfunction, no is the one word boundary. Let me say it like this. I live out in the country, and one of the things that I kind of miss about, I don't miss it too much, but I miss about having neighbors that are a little bit closer is if the dog poos in your yard, you can put up a fence, right? I live in the country. There's not going to be fences. And so sometimes, how many got some strays trafficking in and out of your life, leaving you gifts on your porch? Here's what happens. Here's the essence of it in our own heart. To be able to say no and hear no in a healthy way has everything to do with spiritual maturity. And when I say no to people, it's not because I don't love them. It's because, listen, the reality is that might not be my fight. That might not be my battle. That might not be my responsibility. And with that, it's really hard when you're raising kids, because how many of you know if they don't understand healthy boundaries at an early age, if they don't understand no at 3, it's going to be harder at 7. It's going to be harder at 13. It's going to be almost impossible at age 17. And by the age 20, he just got an independent spirit. Oh, you know, he's just a boy. Okay. You know what? That teacher's picking on him. That cop's picking on him. And the next thing you know, by age 24, you're going to say, I never could do a thing with that boy. It's because he could never hear no in a healthy way. And sometimes, how many of you have a hard time saying no to people? And I found in my own life, selfishly, sometimes I wasn't saying no to people, creating a healthy boundary of expectations, not because it was better for them, even though I loved them. It was because it was better for me, because if I said no to them and they couldn't receive the no and all of a sudden they didn't like me anymore, it hurt my, can I call it, orphan spirit to be loved and accepted and appreciated. So I wasn't saying no to the person to help them. I was saying no to the person to help myself feel loved and accepted in an unhealthy way. And so what happens is it goes on and on. And like say our children, I remember Chip Langley used to talk, and he said, you know, the Bible says, I know all babies are a gift, babies are wonderful, they're born of God, we love them, but the Bible also says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And Chip said he will never forget. I mean little Reagan, she's like 1 or 2 years old, and she knew what no meant. And he said he saw her reaching for the TV, and he knew this little bitty hand when it was reaching for the TV and looked back, he knew she was doing it on purpose, right? And so he had to teach him no at a very, very early age. And so for us, I'll say this, every time I don't say no to somebody that is violating a boundary of responsibility, what happens is if I keep them from suffering the consequences of bad decisions, a callus goes up on their heart. Write that on your mind. Every time I don't say no to something that I believe is going to be detrimental to somebody's life, what happens, whether because I love them or whatever, what happens is when I keep them from the consequences of bad decisions, a callus goes around their heart until the time where all of a sudden they get hard-hearted. They won't listen anymore. They won't take no for an answer. They won't hear no effectively. And whenever you tell them no out of that orphan spirit, what it becomes is it actually becomes an indictment against their value. And they begin to, just like Adam, blame everybody externally for their personal situation. I've been going in supermax penitentiaries for 27 years now. 25 years now. And it is so crazy when I sit down with, I love these brothers, how they can have robbed three banks and they will be blaming somebody else for what they did wrong. There's a true analogy here. There's a baby that is raised. Its mom and dad wanted it. It's nurtured by nature. It's fed on time. Its diapers are changed. It's coddled. It's in affection. It's in love. And that baby hears no right. You know why? Because it feels love. Part of the key thing of boundaries is something called bonding. If you don't feel safe, you will violate healthy boundaries to get a need met externally that only God can give you. So here's one baby. It's nurtured, it's loved, it's corrected. James Dobson says this: it takes 12 words of affirmation for every one word of correction. And so when a kid feels loved and safe and secured and feels bonded, what happens is no is not an indictment. I remember one time we gave Amelia a spanking because she was having an attitude. Yes, we don't beat our kids, but I'm gonna warn you. You can get a swat on the butt if you keep doing that. And I gave her a swat on the butt, and she sat down at the dinner table, and she looked at me. I know this is politically incorrect. That's okay. I gave her a swat on the butt, and at dinner she looked at me, and she said, "I feel better now." I said, "Why do you feel better?" She said, "Oh, I'm just out of control. I needed that whipping." By the way, I never said that to my parents. I never. That never happened. And so there's another kid that was raised. It would lay in its own feces for hours. It was passed from person to person and thing to thing. And it never felt secure. I've seen these children that are orphans in China. And you watch them and they rock back and forth. They rock themselves because inside they need held and rocked and there's nobody to do it. And that damages the child from the inside at a very early age. And so what happens is because they weren't giving healthy boundaries of love and acceptance and appreciation, later in life, they will violate boundaries in people's life. They'll cheat on their taxes. They'll fornicate before marriage. They might rob banks because, listen, if they can't keep their own boundaries, you know what happens? Somebody's got to make boundaries for them. I call that prison. When you can't keep your own boundaries, what happens is then society has to create a boundary for you to keep you from hurting others and hurting yourself as well. And so I'm going to close, but I'm going to say this and I want to pray for us. David said this. He said, and this is short and condensed, and I know there's so much going on in my mind, but David said, "My lines have fallen in pleasant places." He said, "I know where my boundaries are. I know how far to go with the places that God's given me." What's strange is the Lord told Israel in Numbers to fully occupy the land that he had given them, right? He set boundaries and borders for their life. And he said, if you do not occupy the healthy boundaries that I give for you, he said, what I was going to do to the enemies, he said, they're going to do to you, and there'll be thorns in your eyes and thistles in your sides all the days of your life. And did you know Israel has never fully occupied the land that God gave them? And so there's wars. And in the spiritual, we are spiritual Israel. And God doesn't want us to keep people out, but He does want us to have healthy expectations of what we're responsible for. And we heard the analogy years ago of a guy, and he put a hula hoop around himself. And in the hula hoop, I'll put yourself in a hula hoop right now, okay? Not a hula skirt, right? A hula hoop. And this is a boundary for my life. In this circle, only this circle, I am fully responsible for this. I own this. This is me. But you know, nobody should have control over your emotions. Now, I'm not saying that people can't, anger you at times, but nobody can make you mad. Because if they can make you mad, then they can make you happy. And the next thing you know, they're the God of your emotions, not Jesus. So in this sphere, in this circle is me. Who else is in this circle? Jesus. He's my source. He's my supply, right? And so in this circle, and if I have very, very young children, those young children are in that circle too. Because they are not old enough to control their own flesh, I got to. Right? I've got to. Next circle, hula hoop, is something called influence. Those are people that you're yoked to, but you don't control. I control everything in this circle, okay? Meaning this, I don't control the Lord, but I yield myself to Him in that. And so, how many know my mind, will, emotions, and personality are in that circle? And so I got to defend that border. I got to enhance that border. That first circle, it's got to be my Garden of Eden. The second one is something called the boundary of influence. That means I don't control this, but I influence it out of love. That can be my wife and my daughters. That can be my church family, right? We influence each other. We're yoked together, right? But I don't control what's in your circle. You don't control mine. But because we got healthy boundaries, we influence each other out of the health that we have. And the third circle I would say is this. You have no responsibility whatsoever. Now you have one, it's called love. But love looks like something, right? I had one guy that was going to leave the church and did. He got mad at me. And I said, Kenny, why are you so mad at me? He said, because my wife is not reading her Bible. And you're the only one she's listening to right now, and you're not making her. I'm like, she's not my wife, by the way. She's your wife. And it is not my job to make anybody do anything, right? My greatest responsibility is to set my boundaries for myself, give myself healthy boundaries, and those are the things that me and the Lord can control, everybody else. I want the Lord to set your boundaries in pleasant places. I want us this morning to be able to not enable people because we love them or out of a need ourselves to try and help somebody in the short term by saying a yes when they need a no right now so they can suffer some consequences and get a heart change. Does this make sense? The Bible says this. It says, I'm going to pray this for all of us. You can stand up this morning. I'm going to pray just a short prayer of the hair this morning, and I'm going to pray this. I'm going to pray, number one, that the Lord would forgive us our trespasses. Amen. I've violated a few boundaries before. Can I just say something? In trying to help people, I have manipulated their emotions, and don't look at me in that tone of voice because you have too. I have manipulated people's emotions to get them to do something that I thought was good for them. I've used guilt. I've used flattery. I've used sympathy, and I've also used aggression. I've just given them the stink eye, right? I manipulated people's emotions, and in doing that, violated a boundary. And I think we all have. So I'm going to ask, Lord, forgive us of our trespasses, the time when we violated other people's boundaries, out of an insecurity, out of a wound. And Lord, we also ask this, that not only would you forgive us our trespasses, but you would forgive everybody that trespasses against us. And Lord, a boundary, it's like you're a wise master builder. So I'm going to ask this morning that you would show us what the healthy boundaries look like a citadel, like a wall around a city of protection. I pray that you would show us how to set boundaries in our life, to build our life, that we could have an Eden and not a swamp. Help us to hear no and say no with a clean heart. And Lord, we just give you the praise now. If some of us have been raised in insecure relationships, places where there weren't healthy boundaries, where that bonding didn't happen, I pray that you would do what was the second part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is to bind up broken hearts. I want to say this morning, and nobody even has to look around, I'm just going to say this. If you feel like you were raised without healthy boundaries, and sometimes a no feels like rejection in your life, and you don't respond accordingly, I want you, God's here to heal that trespass in your life. I just pray for you right now. I speak healing. Listen, what a dad or mom couldn't do in 20 years, I know God can do in a minute. It's called a miracle. And so we say, but bind up, heal, bring healing to broken hearts, and by your word, renew our minds. And we will give you all the praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can everybody say amen this morning?